Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. I am your host, and thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. We have an excellent show for you this week. Katie Nolan on the show to discuss the Tom Brady roast. Katie, obviously, from Boston, Patriots fan in the comedy world. So I thought she'd be a perfect guest to break down the roast with. Also get into what she's doing these days, her affiliation with Meadowlark, and her appearance on Celebrity Jeopardy. So really, really fun, great stuff with Katie. And then following Katie Nolan, we have Sal Cotta and the Train of Thought segment, where Sal gives his thoughts on the Brady roast. That was like the big story of the week in the sports world. Get into some other stuff about Netflix possibly airing Christmas Day NFL games and Sal's struggles in life. So if you like the Train of Thought segment, you will enjoy this thoroughly. Before we get to it all, let me just remind you quickly, if you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, go into the archives, check them out. We had John Oran from Puck, formerly Sports Business Journal, on last week to talk about all of the NBA TV deals that are about to happen. John Sterling, the newly retired radio voice of the New York Yankees, was on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Malika Andrews from ESPN, working her first NBA playoffs, was on the podcast recently as well. And the pods are back on YouTube. Obviously, if you're listening to this right now on Apple or Spotify, you probably don't care. But a lot of you ask about YouTube. The pods are back on the Sports Illustrated YouTube channel. I had to take a break there for a little bit, but they're back up on YouTube if you like to consume them that way. If you're a WWE fan, go on YouTube, check out a podcast we did about a month ago with Cody Rhodes right after WrestleMania. That was great stuff too. All right, let's get to it now. Katie Nolan, followed by Train of Thoughts, all right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, I had to find someone good to break down the Brady roast with. So I called on friend of the SI Media podcast. It's been a little while though. Katie Nolan. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. Tell them the truth. Tell them you called on Julian Edelman.
I did try to get Julian Edelman.
Then you came to me.
I did try to get Julian Edelman. I begged Fox. Didn't happen. So I wasn't expecting to get someone who was actually a roaster on the podcast.
Yeah, well,
took a shot. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah. Myrtle's here. She says hi.
Look at
that. I
don't
know if you can see her. She's curled up in a ball. She has an eye infection. So it's been a rough couple days for us here.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I wish I could be that comfortable, but she's probably under the weather.
Yeah. She's just trying to get at it. I had her in a cone yesterday, but then I feel bad with that cone on for too many days in a row. So this is me keeping an eye on her, but also, you know, helping you out and doing this podcast and talking about this Brady roast.
I figure you consumed every single second of the Brady roast.
Well, here's the thing, Jimmy. I wouldn't have, but our friend, I think you're also friends with him, Dan Le Batard, asked me to talk about it the next day. So I was like, look, I'll watch the whole thing. And so I went into it kind of, I don't know, expecting to be a hater, expecting to be like, oh, they tried and they really failed. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. My main note, too long. It was too long for me to sit there. But then you look at like what they could have cut out and I'm like, well, a lot of it was good. So I get it. That's really my only main note about it. A little bit too much sitting and watching. It was like, what, 3 hours? What was the total runtime?
3 hours. Yeah, I think it was wild. 3 hours and 4 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could start by cutting Ben Affleck out. That probably would have been fine by me.
Are you, as a Boston person, are you embarrassed to claim Ben Affleck?
No, I mean, I'm not.
You should be. You should be.
I know. And here's why I'm not, because I'm afraid that in some way, in some strange world, he's going to see a clip of me. And I want him to know I still love you. I'll always love you. I just think this was not your best. And I also feel like I wish, you know, if you're this, you're the Boston guy, right? One of them, but you're the one who was chosen to be there that night. I would think that he would want to make that awesome. It should be something he was really excited to be a part of. And it felt like he didn't, to be worse than some of the athletes is a bad look, I think.
It reminded me of when, I didn't put my phone on Do Not Disturb. It reminded me of when he was on Bill Simmons' HBO
show. I said
show.
The same thing, Jimmy, and I feel like people forget because I said that why is it when sports media gets Ben Affleck, we never get his best? We always get his weirdest. We always get him in some weird state where he doesn't seem like he wants to be there, which is like, okay, then don't be there. I don't know. No one's forcing you.
I also didn't like that he was too cool to be part of the show. Like he just came out. Like even Belichick sat on the panel. I didn't like the I'm better than everyone. I'm going to come out, do the thing, and then leave. Didn't like that at all.
Yeah,
like
I mean, you would have to mention there was, what, three people, I think, unless I'm forgetting one, that essentially did that. Kraft did not sit on the dais. Kim Kardashian did not sit on the dais. And Ben Affleck. I feel like the reason Ben Affleck didn't is because if it were me, if I were up there roasting and I saw Ben Affleck, I would go, I'd do a full 2 minutes on J-Lo. Right. It's just too easy. And I get why Kim Kardashian can't be up there because nobody, it would just be nonstop. She's the easiest possible target. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think if you're going to do a roast, it's like, well, then sit there and do the roast. Yeah. You have to take everything that comes with it.
So it's funny. So last night, when I knew you were coming on and I was doing a little research, I'm like, let me just Google Katie real quick just to see if there's anything I need to ask her about. Yeah. And like a million things came up where it was like, Katie Nolan says Ben Affleck was on drugs.
I did it. If they really say that.
And it was the Daily Mail. Like the Daily Mail. Like this is where it traveled to, Katie.
I know. It's funny because I was thinking too when you asked me to do this, I was like, every time I do Jimmy's podcast specifically, I feel like the New York Post has something to say about something I said. And I don't know who over there is paying attention to me. I guess thank you. I guess the alternate to this would be nobody caring every time you speak. And that would suck.
Right.
I have no idea what Ben Affleck was getting into or not getting into that night. All I'm saying is I live on Earth and I've interacted with people who have been on things. And there were similarities. That is all I'm saying. He may not have been, and I love if he wasn't. Same way that like Drew Bledsoe had a dry mouth that seemed indicative of the same. But I think it's because he was drinking red wine. And that will make your mouth dry and you'll need water. Like I have no idea what any of these people are doing. I'm just observing. And to any observer who's telling the truth to themselves, they notice the same thing.
Cut to the New York Post Thursday afternoon.
I know.
Katie Nolan doubles down on Ben
Affleck. Says Drew Bledsoe's actually on drugs as well. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, also, you're at basically a party. So if you're looking at a bunch of people who do drugs, then maybe they would have done drugs. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is that one of the first questions I wanted to ask Julian Edelman was how much and what did you partake in before the roast?
Right.
Because I think that's a valid question.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this, because I consider you in the comedy world.
Thanks.
Your shows always had a comedy.
Yeah.
Built around comedy.
Thank you very much.
Now, I don't know. I think if you're in the comedy world, it's hard to make you cringe, but I could be wrong about that. Did anything make you cringe during the roast?
Yeah. Well, it's also, you got to remember, and you know, I know I'm just a fan of a team. I'm one of those people that says we when they're talking about the Patriots, and I know I'm not on the team. I know these are not my friends or my family, but I'm connected to the Patriots in the fact that I like them. I rooted for these people when they played. And so I am a little bit like, you know, you get nervous for like, oh, I know this person. I really hope they don't blow this. So there was, I think a little bit of my cringiness came from that. But I cringed. Gronk made me cringe a couple times. Edelman made me cringe a couple times. And this is just my personal opinion. I'm not saying that like overall they were bad and should be canceled. I don't care. I'm just saying like as a person who likes jokes and sports, specifically these athletes, watching them, there was just a couple. Edelman did the thing that I can't stand the most but it's common for people who don't tell jokes a lot. You tell the joke and then immediately after feel like you have to explain what it was that was supposed to make you laugh. And he did it like six times. And it was, and then Gronk had that long joke about that. I think Belichick tried to tell him not to tell about Tom Brady and the size of his, I don't know what I can say on the SI Media podcast.
You can say whatever you want.
The size of his dick and then how Edelman went to suck it. That was bad. And then obviously the aforementioned Ben Affleck, when he did the like thing to the mic and then walked off on that without even like shaking Brady's hand. That made me cringe a bit. Trying to think if there was any other. I thought Mr. Kraft was good. I thought he was good. I mean, it was, you know, very short and he was in control of it at all times, but
I think you have to, like, for what, you know, Robert Kraft is an 85-year-old man who's probably never been part of a roast. So, yeah, like, people saying, like, Belichick was hysterically funny. Yes, because we're not used to seeing Bill in that setting, but he wasn't
or smile
like,
at all, ever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned the Edelman thing, because, I mean, listen, he's not a comedian, he's not a roaster, so, like, I can give him a pass. I thought, what bothered me, it's so similar, was when someone would kill it, like Nikki Glaser, and then
murdered.
Kevin Hart would come on and be like, oh my God, how good was it? Like, wait, no, but that was so good. And that was so, like, okay, let us judge what's good. And you just move it along, Kevin, okay?
See, I'm gonna maybe surprise you here. I used to like Kevin Hart. I've, you know, it's kind of popular, I guess, to have fallen out of favor with Kevin Hart, to not like him as much. I didn't hate him. I hated him at the beginning of the roast. He was annoying me at the beginning of the roast. I truly think, and again, could be wrong, that throughout the course of the roast, as people like Nikki and Tony Hinchcliffe and Sam Jay killed, I think he was like, whoa, these comics are absolutely bringing it. I need to be funnier than I'm being. And then I think he was more himself as the roast went on. And then when he got like everybody to do a shot together, I thought he like got better as the night went on. I didn't hate him as much as I thought I was going to.
It's so funny you say this. It's blowing my mind because I am not a Kevin Hart fan and never was. Like, I wasn't someone that fell out. Like, I was never in. Never got it. And I actually thought he was funny in his opening because I enjoyed... It took him a while to get there, but the line about, well, maybe you didn't like this because you're a Patriot fan, but when he said about how Brady fucked Belichick by leaving him with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And then he said, so, and he tied it into like fucking your coach. Yeah. And he goes, you know, like Giselle did with her.
Yeah.
I think here's why I thought that was good, because that was like the first one. And I think it set the tone.
Opened the floodgates for it to be joked about.
And who had the one, I thought it was such a great line now, and I don't remember who said it about, she was taking 8 classes a week and she was still a white belt. What did you think was going on?
I think that might have been Kevin. I don't
know.
That's
a great line.
I think it was. He also had a good line that I just thought of that now I can't. Oh, where he was like, he retired and he unretired and Giselle didn't like that. But I understand, Brady, if somebody gives you the chance to come back and go 8-9 and all you're going to lose is your wife and kids, you got to take it. And that was funny to me.
Yeah. So I thought the 8 classes a week, she's still a white belt, was a
very
great
funny
line.
Very
tell me what you thought in terms of setting it up. I thought it was really interesting the way Netflix put the two biggest guns by far, Nikki Glaser and Jeffrey Ross, right at the top. I felt like almost it was like, okay, we want to show you this is going to be like a real roast and we're not going to PG-13 it, or maybe it was just, let's get these guys going because then it's going to be nothing but the athletes, and if you put them following an athlete, or you know, you have them, then the athlete who comes after them, it's going to be rough. Did you think there was any like strategy in that as someone who is a comedy aficionado?
Can I speak freely?
Yes, please.
I think Jeff Ross went early because Jeff Ross seems to think of himself as some sort of roast master general. He continuously calls himself that. He wanted
isn't
to
he
come
though?
Out.
Is he not? I thought
yeah,
he was.
I'm over it. I'm okay. over it. Not for me. I think he's not as talented as some of the people we've seen in roasts past. And I feel like he just made himself the roast guy so that anytime there was a roast, he gets to go. And that's great. but like his whole big coming out in his costume and some of his jokes are funny. I'll give him that. I don't remember them. That's no offense. They're just, I don't remember them off the top of my head. But he, you know, I think he went first because it was like, get this guy out of the way. And then get to the absolute killers. I did think a lot about the order as the night went on, where I was like, man, I would hate to go. Because there was one point where they showed Andrew Schultz while, I want to say it was while Sam J was killing. And his face looked like, oh my God, I have to go. I still have to go after this. But then Schultz went up and he was actually very funny. So it, you know, I don't know. The most interesting part of the booking for me was when they had Tony Hinchcliffe, who I don't know how into comedy you are, but he hosts Kill Tony, which is a show. It's like a panel show where they have, they pull a name out of a bucket and like basically open micers come up and do, I don't know, 5 minutes or something. And then the panel of comics like pick it apart. They had Tony out in the audience and then they had him with the bucket. And I'm like, what is this? I truly think they used that device so that they could give Dana White only 1 minute because Dana White, bomb of the night, but not mentioned in the headlines because he barely said anything. But Dana White felt to me like the guy who was, and this is my, this is where things get dicey when you talk about comedy, because there's some people who are so married to the idea that like, if you don't like this joke, you're woke or you're trying to cancel it or you're, it offends you. Where it's like, no, it didn't make me laugh. And that's the point of a joke. And Dana White to me seemed like somebody who was like, I'm going to win everybody over by saying the words I'm not supposed to say. And then you were like, we'll say them in an order that makes them funny because none of this is funny.
And I couldn't agree more because my thought that night watching it live when he spoke was this feels so forced. It doesn't feel like a natural, like, let's my think of something funny. It just felt forced.
If you're going to say words that I personally don't like saying in my day-to-day life and you want them to make me, if I want to laugh at them and go, oh my God, you have to laugh at that. Like an offensive joke that works to me is one that makes you laugh and then you immediately go, oh my God, I shouldn't have laughed at that. But it's so funny. It's such a brilliant device. It's such a smart idea. It paints a picture. It turns something on its head. It's unexpected. It's not just like woke liberal media, blah, blah.
Well, and I'll give you one that I think fits that bill. So I'll be curious for your take on this because I laughed so hard at this joke and then I was like, am I supposed to laugh at this? Was when it was Brady talking about Sam J. And he said, not going to mess with her. She looks like the dude that busted my MCL.
I laughed as well.
I mean, that's a great joke. It's funny. Yeah. Right.
And Sam J laughed at it. It's funny.
Exactly.
I think my closest
to the
line.
And that's not a woke joke. Like,
no. My closest to the line, I think somebody, I think it was Hinchcliffe, said that Jeff Ross is the type of, he's so Jewish that he watches football for the coin toss. That was funny to me.
Yes.
Because it makes you go like, oh, I get what he's getting at. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't like perpetuate a harmful state. It just is like, ha, ha, ha. If that stereotype were true, isn't that a funny way of looking at it? Whereas like Julian Edelman, my main note with Julian Edelman, if all of these skilled comics up on stage tonight with all of the people around you that you see that do this for a living and yada, yada, you think you're the one who's going to be adept enough to say the word Hamas? You think it's your job to bring up Hamas tonight? It felt to me like that is the biggest possible risk. And unless you're going to nail a joke, which that it wasn't in service of an incredible joke. He said he's the type of Jew that makes you wish you were in Hamas or something like that.
Right.
It was just like, you just wanted to say the word.
Right. Right.
So that I was
That one, I think when I heard that one, I thought, okay, he can get away with that.
Yeah.
Because he's Jewish, so that's why he's going there. So I thought, okay. The one where I started to go, okay, where are we going?
It was a lot of that.
Was the Brady 9/11. And it ended up being fine.
Which one?
About the Twin Towers with the Jets.
Oh,
and then he's the New York, and he turned it into the New York Jets. But at first I was like, okay, where's it go? Like, my first thought isn't like, let me get offended. It's like, let me see where it's going.
Right.
And then I did not think it was going there. But I also didn't think Tom Brady was going to go up there and make a 9/11 joke. So like, I didn't think it was going to go.
Well, kids these days love 9/11 jokes. That's like their thing now. I know that's probably, it's harder for our generation or like older, anybody older, but it's, you just have to go like, that's their, thing. That's their little,
I didn't know that.
I'm edgy. Yeah. That's
like I the, did not know that.
Because you know, they weren't alive. It's wild right, how right. old the people who weren't alive for it are now. It makes me feel ancient. Ancient.
You said something about, I wanted to follow up about people who shouldn't have been up there. And this is such low-hanging fruit, and I don't mean to take the low-hanging fruit, but I don't understand why Kim Kardashian was there and got to speak.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. What was the point? Because she's Kim Kardashian, I guess.
I guess. I think when he first was single, weren't they linked maybe? Or like she had said that she would date him or something. I don't remember. I try not to consume any news about that person because mm-hmm. that's how I deal with people I don't like. I don't right. watch their stuff and yell about it. I just avoid Same. It. So Same. I don't really know anything about her. I know who wrote for her, and I was surprised. But also like that's my favorite part is finding out like, oh, that's who crafted that joke for Kim Kardashian and had her stand there and say that. I said on Lebatard that I felt bad for her because he said, was there anybody you felt bad for that night? And to me at a roast, I don't feel bad for anybody because you know what you're signing up for.
Right.
It's how it goes and they're not going to play by special rules for you. The only person I could see myself feeling bad for was Kim Kardashian. And as I've stated, not a fan.
Because? But
she's the only person who had to deal, who was confronted with pure meanness. Booing somebody just for being there is not cut with a joke. There's no right. like barb, but we're all laughing. It's just like, get out of here. We don't like you. I'm not saying if those people were right or wrong, but if right. I were finding sympathy in my heart for anybody at a roast, it would be the person who, before they even spoke, everybody was like, don't bother. We hate you. And that's gotta hurt. That just human empathy wise, put yourself in that position. That's gotta hurt. That sucks.
I'm torn. And I get what you're saying 100%. I also think if you're her and you're approached with this, like you have to say no.
I don't think she's saying no to anything right now. I don't know what she's promoting, but she's been everywhere. I keep seeing her on different coasts at different events.
Yeah, because I would like to, like, is she not aware that she's not loved by a lot of people? And then the other thing was she, I think out of everyone, I didn't think anyone at any point in the night, like you mentioned Sam J with that joke was laughing. I didn't think anyone up there got mad at any joke. The thing with Brady and Kraft, he wasn't mad. That was a bit.
I heard that wasn't a bit. So they asked Bledsoe on Lebatard. Sorry to keep bringing him up like this is his podcast, but no, I just did fine. And they asked him and he said that wasn't a bit and that wasn't planned.
Oh, but, well, Jeffrey Ross said like he wasn't being serious when Brady said it because Jeffrey Ross was on Eisen the next day and he said it wasn't like a serious thing. Oh. And the only time I thought anyone got offended was Kim when Brady, and it is amazing that Brady would unleash this you know, Kim was nervous about being here, not because of being here, but because her kids would be with their father. Yeah. It's a great line because Kanye's crazy, but, you know, that one she did not look like she was having fun with.
She, like, gave him the look of, like, now, Tom, and she laughed. I will say, you said, doesn't she get the sense that she's not loved? I think for some people, perhaps the Kardashians, being seen is just as good as being loved. Like to them, it's like, I'm not going to get you to like me, but I will not fade out of public consciousness.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the value to her. I don't think she's worried about people liking her because I think if enough people don't, you're like, okay.
Right. Right. Listen, you have to give her credit. She's managed to take whether people like her or don't like her into...
They're
fame
very,
and fortune.
Very good business people.
Yeah.
They're, you know.
For sure.
Whatever it is they do.
You're a diehard Patriots fan. I would assume you've always been a huge Brady fan because if you're a Patriot fan, why wouldn't you be a Brady fan?
What?
Did this change you in any way, shape, or did this change the way you think about Brady or look at Brady in any way, shape, or form?
No. Yeah. I think like any, you know, people say like, oh, it was nice to see them be funny and it was nice to see them laugh. Like it was a television event. So it was like they had the best writers in the world helping them to say funny things. I think it was good to see this like long perceived as humorless team outside of Gronk, who's always just been our idiot, you know, like be funny and like laugh with each other. And I thought, I also found it so interesting to see the moments where like Belichick does not like Kraft and does not care to pretend. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, sure. Okay, cool. I like that you're taking a shot together, but that you're also like, this doesn't, I don't like you. Goodbye.
I think Kraft took the shot. I think Belichick was trying to slither away.
Yeah. He did clearly did not want to be a part of it, but you also, it's like when your parents ask if your friend can, you ask if your friend can sleep over in front of your parents, and your parents are like, I can't say no, you're asking in front of them. I have to do it, but I don't want to.
But Belichick was being a gentleman. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. I thought he was, I don't know. I thought he was cute. I thought he was cute all night. And he really took a lot of brutal and fresh jokes. In stride when they were like, you can't get a job, and seemed very happy to say that he couldn't get a job. He seemed fine about it.
He did. And I think what I loved about Belichick is that he was a fish out of water and didn't try to become a fish in water. Like, he didn't try to be smooth. He was himself. And that in itself, I mean, I think that's why he was great with McAfee during the draft. Like, he's not trying to be polished. And that, whereas Gronk, not polished, but seemed to be annoyed that he wasn't polished and was getting shit for not being polished. So then he was trying, and you know, that whole thing. I have to rewatch the Gronk thing again.
I don't think I could without shriveling up in out of existence. I don't think I could. It was tough. My favorite thing I noticed about Belichick is he would say, because at that point the crowd was kind of like warmed up and rolling.
Yeah.
He would say the beginning of, he'd like set up his joke and the crowd would react a little. And then you'd see him almost like coaching them to be like, well, hold on, wait, I'm going to get to the punchline. Like, he was trying to coach the audience into like, don't react yet. I just thought it was cute. So many little mannerisms he did that I thought were really sweet and adorable. And I loved when he stumbled over a joke. Like, his first like good, really good joke, I think, was that Apple TV joke when he was like, not to be confused with the 8-part roast of Bill Belichick on Apple TV. But he like stumbled over it a little. And I love that the audience still gave him the laugh, because it was like, yeah, it's a good joke. It's a lot of words and it's sensitive to you, but it was a good for you.
That was a great line. Great line. Do you think, give, I guess you know some of the writers on it, do you know if like the, like Bledsoe, Edelman, Gronk, did they have any lines that were their own, or you think everything was written for them?
I think that Bledsoe told Le Batard he and his his brother and his wife helped him write his. I don't know who wrote how much or like what percentage of stuff was written by other people. I don't know. I would imagine Gronk wrote a couple of those, and I would imagine it's easy to identify which of those Gronk wrote. And I bet if they didn't have, I bet they like, it, some of them felt like the athlete gave, like, I'd like to say this more.
Right.
And then it had to be put in. And I also felt like they were probably allowed to pick which ones they wanted to say. And you could tell a lot of people picked ones that skewed towards one type of, it's just, how funny can the punchline of you're gay be? How many times can we laugh at the punchline being you're gay? It's like, and again, I'm not saying I'm offended. I'm not saying cancel anybody. It's just like, can we tell a different joke about Alex Guerrero and Tom Brady?
I think if they would have just made the one Alex Guerrero and Tom Brady joke, it could have been funny. But like you said, it was just like on and on and on with no punchline. Like, no, it was just, the punchline was you're gay. There was no setup or anything like that. At least the Alex Guerrero.
The head up your ass. Ass. It's hard to butt heads with Tom because his head's so far up Alex Guerrero's ass was funny.
That's the way to do it.
But then there was just, it was just too much. It was too much. Yeah. I was like, enough with these. Say, make fun of something else. Nobody brought up that he kisses his kids on the mouth. Where was that?
Well, his kids were off limits. That was the one thing they said.
But that's not really his kids. That's him. He's kissing his kids. Yeah. Whatever.
That was the one thing they said was off limits.
Yeah, that they said.
All right. I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm glad it was on Netflix.
Why?
Well, it's funny because we're complaining that it was too long, but I, on this podcast for the last 2 weeks, I kept pumping up the roast. I said, I don't think people understand, like, this is going to be really good. What made me think that was when I was getting all the PR press releases from Netflix, like, when they said it was going to be live and unedited, they didn't release the roasters ahead of time. I think it trickled out that like Belichick was going to be there and whatever. But they kept saying live and unedited, live and I'm like, okay, so if that's the case, this is going to be like a must watch thing. First of all, anything that's live is sort of a must watch. Anything that's edited is not. So I had a feeling like this was going to be really good. And it was so funny to see on Twitter in those first 5 minutes with the Giselle jokes, people like, oh my God, like what is going on?
We're doing this. Yeah.
But I expected that. So I got some tweets from people like, oh, thank God you mentioned this on the podcast because I tuned in just because of what you said. I'm like, I just, when something's live, you got to watch it because you don't know what the hell can happen.
Especially because I don't know if people know this, but all those Comedy Central roasts we watched, those were edited. Those were not live. Those were never live. Right. You know, the next day, the media cycle was always like, what happened there that we didn't know about? But that didn't happen with this. We got to see all of it. I had a theory that I was kicking around in my own head that I think you're the guy I should chat with about this, that it would be interesting. And again, I don't know, maybe it's also the dumbest idea in the world, but sometimes smart ideas sound really dumb at first. There was something to the idea for me of imagine if this was live and then gone. Imagine if this was like, we're airing this tonight. And then if you don't watch it tonight, you're not watching it. We're not posting it on Netflix. It's you come and you watch it or you don't. And then I was like, well, maybe that'd be too crazy. Maybe it's like it's live. And if you miss it, it's not going to be up for 2 weeks or something. I don't know what the actual answer is. But there's something, it feels like there's something to that of like driving people to the way it used to be, which was like we would all gather around and have to watch. We'd be at the mercy of whoever's airing it. And when it airs is when it airs. And if you miss it, you missed it. Too bad.
Right. I miss that so much. Like in the early days of Twitter, when Twitter was good, like everyone would watch the Oscars or the Emmys or the Grammys or the ESPY, whatever it was, and then make fun of it and do a whole, like now nobody watches anything when it's on, so you can't do that. Even with the roast, like I was surprised how many people like either like came to it late or they'll, you know, they'll watch it the next day, this, that, and like so much, the fun is taken out of that. It's a bummer.
It's part of what I love about sports because it's like, you can't watch it the next day. The conversation will be over. You have to watch it when it's happening because if you know what happens, then it kind of defeats the purpose of watching the process of it happening. Yeah. So I feel like there could be an opportunity for something like that. I don't know. The idea just interests me of like, come watch this. And if you miss it, you miss it. Sorry.
I don't know how you can pull that off, though, in the social media world, because every clip was on social media.
Well, I saw a lot of people filming it with, like, they filmed their TV with their phone. So I think Netflix did make it hard to clip.
Yeah.
I don't think they made it.
It is hard to clip, but you just film it with your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like that idea for sure.
Just, you know, something to get us all talking about one thing again, instead of a million things at different times.
Right. All right. We covered the roast thoroughly. Let's transition to a couple of other things. You've mentioned Lebatard many times.
Yeah.
Are you a Meadowlark employee?
No, free. No. All of it's free. It's all volunteer service.
Really?
Yeah, I just, because look, I got paid very well in my career. Many people had many things to say about that, Jimmy. For me, right now, I'm at this point where I'm like, all right, I'm not hard up for cash. I started making YouTube videos when I started doing all this. So it was like, I was getting paid $7.50 a month and that was my rent. And then I was bartending and I felt like, cool, all my bartending money just goes to fun and this YouTube stuff will pay my bills. And so then I got to a point where I never thought in my life I'd make as much money as I made. And so I feel now like I'm doing all right. Why not wait and only do something when I feel like it makes sense for me? And so when Pablo was like, I'm doing a podcast, would you come on? I was like, the downside of this plan of let me wait until something feels right for me is that if nothing feels right for a while, I go kind of stir crazy and nuts because I have like nowhere to put all my thoughts because, you know, Twitter X is not what it used to be and everything gets taken and screamed. Everyone's just there to fight. And I hate fighting. Yep. Sometimes I'm just like, I have so many thoughts. And so Pablo being like, hey, you want to come on my show every now and then? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. It gives me a way to like release some of the steam so I don't explode while I still continue to try to figure out what I'm doing. So I'm not technically a Meadowlark employee. I am, you know, I'm just there to help out and they're basically helping me because I can talk.
So you're okay. So you're not even like a part-time Meadowlark employee then. Okay.
No.
Okay. No. You, I, I saw some clips of a pod you did with Pablo and Kevin Clark, and I thought you guys had really good chemistry together, the three of you.
Oh, thanks.
That was a good mix.
Yeah, Pablo's great. Pablo's podcast is really good. He has this way of, like, he can do these deep dives on things, and then he can also just do like a screw off podcast where you're just like talking to your friends about stuff. He is so versatile to me. I love Pablo Torre so much.
I went back and looked. It was in August, I believe. I wrote a column. You were on with Dan Le Batard, and you guys did something you'd just never see in sports media. Like, you talked about how he did pursue you to work at Metalark. You said no because there was not like a defined role for you. And it was, I believe it was like the first time you guys were like talking about it, and you did it on a podcast, which I found fascinating. And I thought it was a riveting conversation.
Yeah, I was, as soon as that was over, I was like, should we have done that? Because he brought it up. And I was like, do you want to talk about this? Because I have my thoughts and I'm happy to share them with you. But we are on a podcast right now. And to Dan's credit, he was like, yeah, I actually really would. And then when I told him, he was like, that's so much more illuminating to me. I understand it now. And I'm really glad that you told me that. So it went as well as it could have. But let me tell you, in the moment, I was like, I'm about to tell you why. I said no. But
what I found riveting was it did feel extremely authentic, because Dan had talked about basically being manic when he left ESPN and started his own adventure, because that's nerve-wracking and you're putting together all these shows and then still trying to do your own show and be creative and be funny. So that's not easy. And you had talked about not wanting to say yes until you had a clear definition of what you would be doing, what the plan is. And I guess the Meadowlark side was like, just come over and we'll figure it out. And I being someone in this business, I totally understood your position on that. So I was like, I can't believe they're saying this like out loud, because this is really what the business is. And I thought it was actually a service to people either in the business or trying to get in the business, because that was all real. And that's all relatable to many of us.
There's certain types of people that that model works for them. Come over here and we will figure it out. I have learned in my life that that doesn't work for me, because if I'm not squeaky enough of a wheel, then I'm never going to get any of the grease. If I'm not like, hey, here's 75 ideas, let's do any of them. I'm more of like a, let me get my team, let's have a focused goal, and then I will do nothing but work to make this as good as I possibly can. I'm not good at things being open-ended. It's just who I am as a person. I would love to be the person who's like, just give me this and we'll just make it all. But I'm like, I need to know what I'm working on, what I'm working towards, why I'm doing it, what my end goal is, so that I can make sure I'm allotting myself properly. Otherwise, I get lost. I'm ADD. I am too easily distracted by everything. And so after what happened with ESPN, I was really gun shy, because I don't know if you remember. Stop doing that. That's gross. People can see you. You're licking where you sat. Lay down. Lay down. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you so much.
It's good listening. Good listening.
She's, you know, she can. She just doesn't always. Right. I don't know if you remember, but at ESPN, my press release when I got hired was like, my quote was making a joke about how they wouldn't really define what it was I was doing. And I told myself at the time that would be fine and somebody would figure it out. And then I had like seven different bosses in my short tenure there. And none of them none of them worked on what it would have been that I wanted to go into. So it didn't make any sense to me. Yeah. And I just didn't want that to happen at Le Batard, because I truly value my friendship with Le Batard. I value his mentorship, like everything he's been able to help me with in my career. Stop it! And so like it would have really bummed me out if I lost him as a friend over some business stuff that he, you know, I just didn't want to jeopardize our relationship for a job that I didn't understand. So I don't work at Meadowlark. I may at some point. I don't, but the door isn't closed. I love them. I think they're doing, I hope that everything he does succeeds.
So do you know what you're looking for in your next gig? Do you have an idea? You're still figuring it out.
Here's the thing, Jimmy. The media landscape right now, not great. Nope. The thing that was my beacon that I was always kind of chasing after, which is one day I'm going to host a late night show. Every week there's a different article about why that's dead. So I'm part of me is holding on to it still and being like, I think we could still make this work. And then another part of me is like, I need to start thinking about what the future of that looks like, because it's not going to look the way that it used to look.
Would you agree, though, it's really not such a thing anymore as a late night show, because things are consumed over a 24-hour
cycle?
Nothing
happens in the time.
Right. I talked about this a million times on this podcast. I remember hearing James Corden doing an interview with Howard Stern, and he's like, I don't make that show for the audience at 12:30 on CBS. That's not who the show is for. I feel like there's no such thing as a late night show anymore. It's all...
But it's got to go somewhere. Nothing matter can neither be created nor destroyed. You understand? And so that must somehow go somewhere. And so I'm trying to figure out what it is about a late night show that is what I was true. Like, I'm trying to distill it down to the purest form of like, what was it that I wanted about that? And where can that live now? And what does that look like? And who do I feel wants to make that with me? And then at the same time, I'm like, everyone's like, why don't you just get a podcast, do a podcast. It's really hard to be excited about and like launching the millionth podcast on earth. Everybody has,
I think it's
a
like
podcast.
The 10 million.
So many people have like 3 podcasts. So to come out into the most crowded space and go, hello, I have a podcast, feels so, it feels weird to me as a person that's I don't know, who cares what I have to say. But I'm sort of like, if I could find the right partner that will help me do a podcast, then like, why wouldn't I have a podcast? Sure, I'll just go make a podcast. But it is just such a weird, it's one of those jobs that's like the easiest to just go and do, but it's also, it feels the silliest to be like, and find time to listen to mine as well. I don't know who's listening to all these podcasts as we speak on
either.
A podcast.
But I agree. Well, it's nice that you could at least, if you do have thoughts you want to get out there, you can call someone at Metal Pablo or whoever and be like, I'd like to riff about this.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's going on with Katie. Now we have to talk about Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh, we have to.
I watched every minute of your episodes with my niece. My niece is a huge Jeopardy fan.
Yay.
And when I told her I knew you, she started rooting for you hard.
Yes.
So we were thrilled to watch you.
Thank you.
And you were good.
It was so fun.
You were good.
It was so fun. It was the most fun I've ever had. It was like...
Remind me, because I did a bad host thing and I didn't go back and look. Remind me of like some of the celebrities you played against.
So my first round was... God, this is even hard for me because this was so long ago. By the time it aired, it had been so long. The first round was Sherry Shepherd and Christopher Maloney from Law and Order.
Okay.
And he and I don't think he liked me very much.
Really?
Well, because I made us go to overtime and then beat him. I think rightfully, when we first got there and I met the people that I was playing against, I think their reaction was like, who are you? Which is totally fair. And then once the game started and they saw that I was going to be a problem, I think then they were like, well, you're not even famous enough to be here. So why are you here? Which again is fair. But unfortunately, they lost. And so they didn't get to. But Sherry Shepherd was so nice. And then I played Dulé Hill and Steven Weber I know from Wings. He was the first dad aged guy that my generation had like a crush on. And he didn't like me very much either. So,
what the hell is going on?
Cause I beat them. I mean, like I think he had won before. I think both of them, Christopher Maloney and Steven Weber, had won Celebrity Jeopardy before.
You're going on Celebrity Jeopardy. There's a chance someone's going to beat you. You can't not like the person.
Yeah. Well,
that's ridiculous.
Well, it was healthy competition. It was nice to be able to riff with everybody. And then the final, I pretend the final didn't happen because I came in third. So I just like to think of the two games that I won. And then we forget about the third game that I did not win.
I was very disappointed. I thought you were going to win. I had like the vibes that you were going to win. I remember, so I think around the time you were on, our friend Peter Schrager was on as well.
Oh, yeah. His episode aired before mine, I think.
So he gave me a whole lowdown on the pod about it, and he said it's so much about the buzzer.
100%.
Okay.
100%. And I've heard people say that. I watch a lot of Jeopardy, and I watch like Jeopardy Masters. I love that show. I think it's one of the only shows that still incentivizes curiosity, and I think like that's the biggest thing for me. It's like wanting to know more and learning stuff. There's like facts I've learned just from Jeopardy, of like watching episodes where I'm like, I don't know that answer, but it's come up enough times that now I know it. So it's like taught me stuff, which I think is neat. And I think it spans generations in a way that I just love Jeopardy. And I'd heard people say that the buzzer's the whole thing. And that's the other reason I loved doing it so much, is because Jeopardy is, as a game show, very difficult to replicate. If you're like with your friends and you're like, let's play Jeopardy. You can't, you'd have to come up with a buzzing in system. You would have to write all of the questions so somebody can't play. It would, it's just so much of it is dependent on the tech to actually get the feel of playing it. And so to be able to just like truly play Jeopardy was so exhilarating. There'll be times where the buzzer's like working for you. Then there's times where just you feel like you're doing the same thing, but it's, you're not getting in. And I'd
watch. Trigger said it would, you would get locked out if you buzzed in.
So if you buzz in too early, you get locked out for like 0.5 seconds or 0.2 seconds or something, which ends up costing you. So you have to wait. There's lights on the side of the game board. And the, when the lights light up, that's when the like floodgates are open. But if you talk to a lot of people who have played Jeopardy, they'll say they know the lights are there, but they still time it off of the speaking cadence. And that's why when Jeopardy had two hosts, when it would switch between Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings, it was difficult because Mayim's cadence was so different from Ken's. And so it was like difficult to get the timing down. But if you buzz in too early, you get locked out and then you can't buzz in again until like the person, you know, gets it wrong or whatever. So it's like, it's very complicated. And I had watched the Celebrity Jeopardy season before mine, and I'd seen people like BJ Novak getting so mad at their buzzer. And I remember to myself being like, if I ever do Celebrity Jeopardy, make sure you don't show how mad you are at the buzzer, because it makes you come off as really like petulant. And then that advice to myself went right out the window the second I got there, because I'm like, why isn't this working? It's so frustrating when you know an answer and you want everybody to know you know it, or you know a response. Sorry, because it's the answer is the question. And you want everyone to know you know it, and you just can't get it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all and 10 being, you know, you might have needed a diaper. How nervous are you?
Okay, this is a good question. So the very first episode we did, I was like an 8. I was like, this is either going to go great or it's going to suck, but we're going to know within the first 3 minutes. And so that's why watching it back, my first episode, I was like, ew, it was annoying the way I acted when I was like, oh, me again. But it was because I know why I was doing it. It's because in my head, I was like, know that you might not get in, know it's going to be hard to buzz, know that the questions might be difficult. And as soon as I saw them and I knew the answers and also got in, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. And I let it show a little too much on my face. But as soon as that happened, my nervousness went down. The thing I was most nervous about was having to talk about my charity, because I didn't want to mess it up. And I was so busy trying to think of, I don't know, the capitals of every country that's ever existed on the world, that I was like, I don't want to mess up like the mission, the reason I'm here, which is like to tell you about the Association of Women in Sports Media. And the second episode I did, I bumbled it a little, but that's because I was behind, I think. And I was thinking about how I was going to look for the daily doubles. And so it was, I was distracted and I apologize, but they got a bunch of money from me. So it's fine in the end.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that is like, you can't have a much cooler life experience, I would think, than Jeopardy.
That was the top. It was definitely the top. It was the coolest thing I've done. I'm very grateful to Michael Davies, the executive producer of formerly Garbage Time, but now a little show called Jeopardy, for giving me such a cool experience. And what, I mean, everybody that works on that show has worked on that show forever. And they're all so nice and so smart and so sweet. And Ken Jennings is real nice. And
he's great on it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's Americana. It's Americana, that show.
It's wonderful. And I love it.
And it's always there. That's what's good about it too.
It's regular. It never leaves you.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Alex. We love you. We miss you.
I feel like Alex didn't get his due. Like, especially like in the, well, I feel like if he was in his prime, sort of like in the Twitter era, he would have, like, there would have been tweets every night about, you know.
Yeah, he's more like cult hero than like superstar. Yeah. But I think that's more organic to him.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I just thought of a question about the roast. If you would have gotten asked to do it, would you have done it?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so, because my fiance is a comic, and like those are his peers. I think I would have been like, I don't know. It would have. I don't know. It would have been too.
Did
stressful.
You watch it with your fiance, Dan?
Yeah, I made him watch it with me.
Now, is that what is it like watching a roast with a comedian? Is like his? Is he watching it in a totally different way?
I think we watch it. I mean, we. He might be watching it in a different way than like a normal viewer, but I think we watched it similarly. And so like right. we broke it down like tape. There was also times where like somebody told a joke that we weren't expecting, where we would like, like look at each other and then like, oh my God, is this going to go where we think it's going to go? So it was fun. It was like watching a sporting event with an athlete. And it was
right,
fun.
Right.
It was very fun to break down with him.
I have to end on this. I'm in a group chat with three former SI workers, but we're all still good friends. And I had told them last night that they're always asking like, who's coming on the podcast? And I mentioned you were coming on. And one of the guys in the group chat, Andy Gray, is from Framingham. So he was like, oh my God, Framingham. She's from Framingham. You got to ask her about Framingham. I'm like, yeah. No offense, but why would I ask about Framingham? But I just wanted
to let
you know.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know about Framingham?
I don't want to know anything. And then my other friend in the group chat, Matt Dollinger, I listen to pretty much every podcast her fiance does. I've become a huge Dan Soder fan.
Yay!
Try to think of a nugget I can give you. He didn't give me a nugget. And then Andy Gray, I've got lots of Framingham nuggets too.
What does he got?
So, nothing.
We used to be, when I lived there, we were a town, the biggest town, I think, in America. I don't know. And then now they're a city. So now we're just like anybody else. But we are the only Framingham on earth. There is no other Framingham anywhere.
There you go.
So that's pretty sick.
And then, yeah, so Dan was on Billions, I guess, because I got he was on, Billions. Was on Billions. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, he's the best. Dan Soder. Go to dansoder.com. See him on the road. He's the funniest.
And then the
man
other guy,
and he loves
in
me.
The group. And then the other guy in the group chat, Avi, said Brady Roast in the A block, Bruins B block, Andy Gray Framingham legend in the C block. That's a great show.
That is a great show. Who's turning that
off? They wanted
off?
To format it. So that's I got bad. That in.
Okay, good.
Go ahead, tell everyone where Dan's going to be. I cut you off.
I have
off.
No
go
idea.
Ahead.
Just dansoder.com. I have no idea. I think he's in Providence right now. I was just half joking, but also like, you know, Myrtle needs to eat. So dansoder.com for tickets. Right.
And then figure out what you want to do. Let's get someone to hire you. You need to get back in the game.
I know. I think it's getting, it feels, can I be honest? It feels like it's getting close. I have maybe said that before, but I do feel like it's getting close.
Do you want companies to reach out to you?
No. Oh no. Okay. I've been, I take meetings and stuff, but most of the time they're like, when you have the idea, let us know. And I'm like, well, that's too much for me. I need us to like work together on the idea. I'm not going to be like, here's the perfectly formatted. I'm not a genius.
So it's all on you.
It feels that way sometimes, but I have a good team of like my, you know, manager and agent and they help out. So I think we're getting there. I had a crazy idea that I might get like an Airbnb and get some of my favorite sports people together for like a creative retreat. And then I was like, do I sound too much like a Silicon Valley weirdo by doing that? But I think it would be cool to just like have everybody together and be like, what's missing in sports and what can we make?
Right.
But you know,
you probably get a lot of like, why can't we do this on Zoom?
Probably. And I'd say, shut up, I paid for it. So just enjoy the house and the party.
Then people would be in.
Yeah, you just rent an Airbnb and then fill it with people you like. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
Or maybe I'll just play more video games and snuggle with my dog.
And do podcasts.
And do people's podcasts.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And this was fun. And good luck with everything.
Thanks, Jimmy. It's good to see you as always. I love to be here. I can't wait to see what the New York Post has to say about it.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope they pick it up. It's always good for me. All right, Katie. Be good. Take care.
You too. Bye, Jimmy.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Joining me now, as he does every week, for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how are you?
Great. Very happy to be with you. I did my homework this week for you. I'm excited.
Well, I just did a whole like half hour with Katie Nolan about the roast, because I was nervous you might not come through. I know you're very busy.
You made me watch 3 hours of that shit, and now we're not going to talk about it?
No, we'll talk about it, but when I saw it was 3 hours, I was like, oh, Sal's not getting this in. How's he going to get this in?
I actually finished it this morning as I was getting ready for work, and then on the way in, I listened to it and kind of had it on.
Give me your overall thoughts, since this was the big sports story of the week.
Okay, I'm not a big roast guy. I don't like the fact that people ghostwrite these jokes or whatever, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was an enjoyable, it was way too long. Some of it was better than others, but it was enjoyable. I laughed quite a bit during it. So I enjoyed the watch. I don't think it was the greatest thing ever. I don't think it was garbage, as Dog would say, but I did think it was enjoyable.
Favorite roasters, least favorite roasters.
I thought Nikki Glaser was Glaser. Excellent.
Yeah.
Glaser, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I thought Nikki Glaser was excellent. I thought Bill was funny. There was somebody else that I liked, some podcast guy that I never heard of before. Tony, maybe?
Tony Hinchcliffe, yeah.
He I thought was very good. Jeffrey Ross was all right. I think the majority of people were okay. I didn't like Randy, and I love Randy Moss. Julian Edelman, I didn't like those guys. Like, they were, you know, whatever. Kraft, I thought was great. Kraft.
Did any of the jokes bother you?
No. I think the closest, now my favorite joke was the one that was told about Kim Kardashian with the beef and Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah.
That one I thought was funny. I forget who said that. Was that that guy, Tony, that said that?
I believe somebody so, said. Yes, yes.
Julian Edelman I thought was the closest to making me feel uncomfortable.
It's so funny because Katie was saying the same thing, and I liked Edelman.
Yeah, I didn't love the delivery, and I didn't love the idea that he came right out of the gate, you know, talking about race stuff, or whatever. I'm like, ugh. It just made me feel uncomfortable.
I think there's something wrong with me because I don't get uncomfortable. Because I know this from Curb, where so many people would be like, oh my God, it was so awkward. I've never felt awkward watching TV shows. Like,
was it as good as you thought?
It was, I think it was even a little better. I would have liked more comedians, roasters in the Nikki Glaser, Jeffrey Ross vein, less athletes, less. You know, there are. I don't need Ron Burgundy. I'm sorry. I know everyone loves it. For me, it's a complete waste of my time. I didn't need Dana White. I didn't need Kim Kardashian.
How about Affleck?
I mean, it was horrific. So then, in a way, it becomes notable.
Yeah, I was disappointed when I heard, because I was surprised I didn't know he was there. I was like, oh, this should be good. And I thought he was off.
Well, what I said to Katie is I also got turned off. I don't like the attitude of I'm too good to sit up here. I'm going to come out, do this atrocious set, and then leave. I don't like that. Either you're part of it or you're not part of it.
Fair enough. They had too many people, too. I get having Peyton and I get having Affleck. They didn't need all that.
But even, I don't know. Even Peyton Manning, it wasn't anything like where I'm like cracking up.
Why 3 hours? Like, aren't these Netflix. Only an hour?
Because it's Netflix. They could do whatever they want. There's no time. They don't have to get to another show. They don't have to get to the local news. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah, but it could have been better. By the way, I didn't even love Brady. I thought the highs were really high. You know, some of the lows were bad. I didn't think Brady was great. I thought some of his lines were funny, but he was clearly reading it to me.
He was doing a character, you know.
Right.
Did it, I asked Katie this, you're not a Patriot fan, but did it change in any way your opinion or how you think of Brady?
No. I love Brady and I love Belichick. And I like that both those guys could have some fun with it. Right. You know, at each other's expense and laugh at themselves. But I've always loved them both and just respect them both.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I feel like I've been fighting this battle for so many years of Tom Brady has a personality. He wasn't allowed to show it in New England. And I don't know why people are so shocked when he has a personality. But
now, do you feel like that with Belichick? Because I do.
I don't think Belichick has, I don't think he's like a riveting person. I think he's very limited in his good personality. But there is a good personality there. But again, Bill Belichick is not going to be Chris Rock. Like, yeah, it's just exactly. Like, he's a football coach. His life is football. Now, he's funny in some of his ways and, you know, but.
How about the line? I forget who had it, but the ring. Oh, maybe it was Brady. The ring regarding Belichick with getting caught on that ring camera. I was like, that was great. Oh, shit.
That was great. Yeah, that was great. That was a high for sure.
It was pretty good.
It's funny.
Kevin, lastly, Kevin Hart. Like, I like some of his movies. I think he can be funny at times. I think they could have done better there.
I don't like any of his movies. I've never found him funny. And I thought he was funny at the beginning of the roast when he did his thing, because he really came out hardcore right. and set the tone. But the rest of the night, he was brutally painful with his interjections.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Like, I'm not sure you can find someone on the face of the earth who would know less about what's going on with that whole thing than me.
Do you just not care?
I mean, I don't care, but I also, I get frustrated sometimes when every single tweet is about something and I don't know what's going on. And I go either two ways. I'm like, I'm going to immerse myself in this and get to be part of this, or I'm just not going to pay attention to it. But it's like, it's an impossible thing to avoid. I don't understand the concept of singing songs about each other. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't get it.
I get into it. I couldn't help but all right, what the hell?
Whose side are you on? Just so I know.
That's a great question that I don't know if I have the proper answer to, because I don't know enough about either. I like Drake's music more than I like Kendrick Lamar's music. But in learning about this battle, I was siding with Kendrick until the last response from Drake, which basically negated anything good that Kendrick did. So,
What did Drake say that made you not?
He basically said that he and his people fed Kendrick a bunch of shit that he knew Kendrick would use as ammo against him, but it wasn't real. So if that is true, it takes away the meaning of that, what I thought was impressive diss track from Kendrick, and really puts Drake on a different type level. So I think the whole thing is petty. I don't even know how it started. I don't really give a crap myself, but I am curious about written words or spoken words about the rap battle and what's being said and what isn't. I just don't know what to believe.
Right, right. I can't add anything because I know nothing about it. I just know they sing songs about each other. I don't know what's going on and all that. I thought of you this morning right away when your colleague at WFAM, Boomer Esiason, said he's hearing that the Christmas Day NFL games will be on Netflix. How will you navigate that?
I don't have a problem with it because I subscribe to Netflix. So anytime any of those leagues or teams or whatever go to a certain service that I already have, it's a minor inconvenience.
All right, where will you be Christmas Day? Your mom's or your house? I mean, you move, so maybe you hold. What do we know? What is it too far in the distance to know what's the
sense? Yes. Okay. Yes. Jimmy, can you let me get through Mother's Day? I got a battle going on with Mother's Day. Is it about your mother? Is it about your wife? Who's the mother? I'm worried about Christmas. Geez. Yeah, but Christmas, geez. It will be easier, regardless of where I am. It will be easier to watch those games, or just the fact that they're on Netflix doesn't make it any more difficult, other than the fact that these games are on Christmas.
Okay, so if you're at your mom's on Christmas Day, she has Netflix?
Actually, now that you bring that up, no, that is more
candidate. That's exactly why I brought it up. Yeah, I rest my case.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
So you'll have to watch it on your phone. Have fun with that.
Well, I could sign in to an account through her TV.
They crack down on that.
What do you mean?
You can't really share the password. It's only they crack down if you're using it out of your household.
Right, but so it's mine. I pay for it. If I'm at a different house on the holidays, I better be able to use it. That's bullshit.
No.
It's not.
Nope.
Wow.
So my dad always used my Netflix account. No more. Right. It kept giving him messages, you're not part of the household, you're not part of the household. So I had to go to his house, make him his own account. And then I'm trying to explain to him, okay, give me your credit card. What do you need the credit card for?
Oh God.
Well, that's how you're gonna pay for it. Why can't it just come on the cable bill? That's what he said. I swear on my life. That's what he said. I said, because this isn't cable, this is Netflix. Well, why can't it all just come on one bill?
I'm with you, Dad.
That was two Sundays ago. So And everyone's just like, tremendous. Oh, everyone has Netflix. Everyone has Netflix. All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you have it, so you don't really care. But I didn't think about that. Yeah. I probably won't be at my mother's house, but that would be an issue.
But meanwhile, when I was watching the roast on Netflix Sunday night, I tried to fast forward to Ron Burgundy, and then it froze, and I had to close out of it, go back into it. So again, I don't want to watch anything on streaming. I don't care what anybody says. Call me old, call me dumb, call me annoying, out of touch. I don't give a shit.
It's just unnecessary aggravation.
I hate it.
Oh,
I hate
great.
It.
You could stream this and stream that. No, I want to know that when I sit down to watch something, it's going to come on, not that buffer circle. I can't do it. I'm taking your advice. I just haven't had the time to do it yet. I'm going to go to an Optimum store and demand, in fact, that I get an actual box that the coaxial cable can connect to so I can watch my cable, not streaming. And if they can't do that, then I'm going in a different direction.
Can you videotape that conversation you have with the Optimum people? I'll pay for it. We'll put it on the podcast. Yeah. I want to see it in live. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby?
I did not, no.
You like horse racing. Why didn't you watch it?
I do. I love horse racing. I love going to Saratoga in the summer. It's in the middle of the day or the evening on a Saturday.
7 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, there's like, it's not a, if they said it's gonna, like, they will run at 6:30 or 7 definitively, maybe I'd make sure to be in front of the TV. I got too much stuff going on to, you know, focus on that 90 seconds or whatever it's going to be at this particular point. Plus, I'm currently not gambling, so that loses. I saw you were at the party. So you bet on the race?
Right. So I do not like horse racing at all. I should say I don't like it. It does nothing for me. I don't understand it. I don't get a thrill from it. I like to bet games because if I bet games, I'm getting 3 hours of action.
Right.
The race is like a minute. It does nothing for me. And I don't know. I don't get the rush. Like if I go to a casino and I play roulette and that white ball is spinning around that circle, I got a rush. I get no rush. I can't see the numbers. I don't know which horse is which. It all looks the same. It does nothing for me. But I was at this birthday party, which was great. And they had, I mean, the entire wall of the restaurant was a TV. And the race is on. I got to bet it. Everyone's going right. to, I can't just be here watching it, not betting it. 100%. So I bet the race. And the race starts. I don't even know where my horse is. Like, I don't find it enjoyable on any level. And then it's over in a minute. Not my thing. Not my thing. But I know you like horse racing, so I'm surprised you didn't.
I do, but if I'm betting on it or if I'm at the track, I like that much more than just, like, I don't care about the sport itself. Maybe if somebody's going for the Triple Crown, then I get more into it, but I didn't make a big deal of it. Plus, you get the Knicks and Rangers on fire, Mets and Yanks, like, dealing with moving to a new house, wife, daughter, like, I got a billion friggin' things going on. Birthday parties and this and that. We're actually out Saturday at a kid's birthday party. So, then by the time I think we got home, I already missed the race.
Okay, well, that makes sense, though. You're not gonna, you're at a kid's birthday party, but the race was at 7 o'clock.
Right. We probably left at 6:30, let's say. Yeah. I got a text afterward of telling me who won. I was like, oh shit, I totally forgot. Like, no, I forgot to watch.
Now, what would you have done if that kid's birthday party was during a Knick game?
We got an issue here. I mean, next weekend, same thing. I'm going to tell you, this is the God-honest truth. And this happened. This conversation happened. Okay. As we're going, this is my wife's nephew's twin's birthday. Okay. Their fourth birthday party. As we're going there, I'm battling with myself. Do I bring this up? Maybe I just don't say it. Do I bring this up? Maybe I just don't say it. And it got past the filter. And I said, why do I have to be at these things?
Oh my God. You did not.
I did. And I knew what was going to come of it, but I'm such an idiot that it couldn't be kept in. And then she reacted as you would imagine she would react. But I guess that was my point. And like, what if I just had something to do, like watch a Knicks game or a Rangers game, and I couldn't come? Is it the end of the world that Uncle Sal doesn't show up for a fourth birthday party? Like, you're going, Samira, our daughter's going. Do I have to be there?
All right. There's a lot of issues here. I was not prepared for this. Now I got to. All right. Listen. First of all, problem number one, your timing. That's not the place for that conversation. You're trapped in the car. There's no escaping.
On the way there. Idiot.
Right. You didn't have a conflict that day. If you weren't missing a Knicks or Rangers game that day, why are you bringing it up?
Well, anticipating, already knowing that I really didn't want to be going to begin with.
Right. Like, here's what you did. Here's what you did. The question is your wife savvy enough to know this? This is what I'd be curious, because this is what you did. You weren't saying, does Uncle Sal have to be at this birthday party? What you were saying is, I don't want to be here in any way, shape, or form. That's what you were saying. You were saying, I would rather get hit by a bus than go to this birthday party. That's what you were saying. And you tried to code it in a different way, but I know what you were saying.
I think she picked up on it.
Yeah, right. So meanwhile, you work like an animal all week. You're never home. It's a Saturday, and you're complaining that you've got to be with her and your daughter. I get what you, if you would have, see, here's what your mistake is. If you would have angled it like, listen, I want to spend time with you. We should be doing something on the weekends. But I can't handle a kid's birthday party. It's one of the worst experiences in the world. Then maybe you can sell it that way. You come out of the gate with, do I have to be here? Which is basically code for, I don't want to do this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like I want to be home. It's not a knock on her family. It's certainly not a knock on the kids. It's the last thing that I want to be doing on the weekend is, like, it's my time for me me and her.
Right.
Like, I'm being spread too thin, and the shit just doesn't end.
Right.
Mother's Days and more birthdays and summer parties. Enough.
Are you gonna say to your wife and your mom, do I need to be around for Mother's Day?
That's a whole.
Can I stay home on Mother's Day? I don't want to be around.
It's a whole nother issue it's another weekend lost. Saturday, because now I don't live near my mother anymore. Saturday, I have to go home to Long Island and spend time with my mom. Sunday, come back, because not only is it my, you know, Mother's Day, but it's my brother-in-law's birthday, so we have to go back.
So Saturday, you're going to come back to Long Island, spend the day with your mom, and then Sunday, you spend the day with your wife.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way
to do it.
And
what about me? Two days. I get no days during the week, and now on the weekend, one day with mom, one day with wife. I get 0 days for Sal. It's ridiculous.
It's not Sal's day. It's Mother's Day.
Yeah, I don't care. They give me the day before. I said, hey, no more. Next 2 weekends in May, I don't want to hear. I don't want anything on the book.
Wait. All right. So now you. Okay. So Saturday you're coming to Long Island, and Sunday's Mother's Day. Let me check the Knicks schedule. Let's see. Oh, you got lucky. They play Friday night.
No, Knicks are on Sunday.
Sunday at 3:30. So that's where you got to be smart. And you tell your wife, let's do a brunch for Mother's Day.
Yeah. No, it's not just Mother's Day. It's her brother's birthday. So we're going to be at his house.
Oh, my God. Is this the one who had the broken TV?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now he has fixed the TV. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but how do you know he fixed the TV? He lied to you the last time. Maybe he's lying again this time.
Here's how I know. I was there this past weekend for his kid's
inspection.
Birthday.
Inspection. I thought you were inspecting the televisions.
No.
Oh, my God.
See, this is the stuff.
Yeah, there's no Sal time this
weekend. You're missing out. I'm envious of you. You don't have to give a shit about anybody else.
Well, you know that's not true.
Well, what I meant was
you should we should go to Maureen Saturday before you have to have Sal time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now I'll let you know if I have some free time.
Oh boy. I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this. So basically, to sum this up, Sunday 3:30 Knicks Pacers. That's where I want to know where you are at what you're doing. That's what
I will be 100% at my brother-in-law's house. You know, partaking in a birthday party, but hopefully he's a Knicks fan at least. We should be watching the Knicks game.
Yeah, but you don't know if the kid's going to break the TV again.
Yeah. Hey, well, that is non-negotiable. I actually need to watch the game. This is not even a pleasure thing. Like, I have to watch that game.
Right, so, right, right.
All parties should be understanding of that.
What is that, game six?
It's a good question. No, no. Four. Is it four?
Four. So, oh, so it's definitely happening. Yeah, because right, tonight so game is two. Game three. Yeah, Friday, game two is tonight. Friday's game three. Sunday, game four. So that game's right. happening no matter what.
Right.
That's a rough one. I didn't even factor in the Rangers. I don't know, because I don't even know what's going on. But geez,
yeah, no, they're Saturday night, which is fine. I'll watch that game at my mom's house. It's not on Netflix, is it?
Saturday night is the Rangers. It's next Friday.
Saturday, I think, is Rangers game four. It's been nonstop with that too. As much as I love it, like every night, I got to come home, enjoy the game. But
Billy Joel is doing a concert at MSG on Thursday. MSG is busy right now.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Rangers game three. They'll be on the road in Carolina that day.
I should try to go to that. We'll see what happens. All right, Sal. All right. Good luck this weekend. We'll be thinking of you.
Take it easy.
All right. All right. My many, many thanks to Katie Nolan and Sal Licata. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Trina, hit the subscribe button and give us a like and a review on Apple. It helps tremendously. And if you missed any recent episodes, go into the archives and check them out. John O'Ran from Puck News was on last week to talk about all the latest sports media news, including the NBA's TV future. John Sterling, just retired as the radio voice of the Yankees, was on the pod 2 weeks ago. Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA studio host working her first NBA playoffs and finals, was on the pod 3 weeks ago. So check those out. Give them a listen. Subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trina. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.